Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And this is the last day, day four of the marketing conference that I went to down in Orlando. And this was an interesting day because the last 4 hours of the event was Tony Robbins, which I've never seen Tony Robbins before. I can't say that I've ever been like really interested in going to a Tony Robbins event, but that guy has some serious energy. And we'll kind of talk about what he went over. He definitely has some really amazing insights on business and has worked with some of the most high-level performers in the world. Me hugging random strangers and jumping around is not really something that that I'm into. So it was a bit awkward for me. Some of the things that we did, it wasn't necessarily in my wheelhouse or something that I would probably pay to go to be there with 20,000 other people when he does it. But that's reality. This guy gets 20,000 people at a course and sells those suckers out, and people go bananas for him. They're like little kids running in there to get their seat. So, you know, we learned some really cool stuff. This is the last day of the event, so we're wrapping it up for you guys, and hopefully you can take away some really cool kind of little nuggets that we learned while we were down there. The other thing is we started a Facebook group while we were down there, and if you haven't signed up for it yet, you need to. I don't know what you're waiting for. It's PT Entrepreneurs is the name of the Facebook group, and guys, this is what we're doing. It's a movement. We're changing our profession, and there's some high-level conversations happening within this group. We had over 100 people request access for this within the first 24 hours. As we're up over 300 members at this point and growing like a weed. And if you have signed up for this and you haven't shared it with a friend yet that's interested in this same the same field, the same topics of entrepreneurship and business related to our profession, share it with them. Tell them something special. We're getting crazy amounts of engagement, really, really interesting, high-level conversations with our peers that are all trying to help push each other forward so that we can grow entrepreneurship within physical therapy, and we can start to change our field and our practice for the better long term. And it's our time now to really make an impact on physical therapy and take it into our own hands, where we don't have to rely on these other professions to have successful businesses and to change the lives of our family and all the people around us long term, both in impact, in wealth, and in satisfaction in what we do. So guys, this is what the group is all about. If that sounds like something that you're interested in, head to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur and you can request access to that.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today is the fourth day of the marketing conference that we've been at, myself and Mr. Eve GG, like Adam and Eve, even though it's spelled Yeebus. No one knows how to say his name properly.
The French Canadian guy did.
Eve GG. And this is the fourth and last day of this conference. And what has been super cool with this is the fact that we've been able to see a whole gamut of different presenters. And in particular, today we got a couple people that were really, really just phenomenal presenters. The last person being Tony Robbins, which was an interesting experience. I don't know. I've never been to a Tony Robbins event. And I don't think that I will go to a Tony Robbins event.
Yeah, that was enough for me.
But it was a crazy experience. So let's break this sucker down today for kind of what we learned and where we're at. So number one, I told you guys yesterday on the last podcast that I joined a mastermind group here yesterday. So we had a lunch with everybody in that mastermind group. And what's really cool about that is the fact that this is a paid mastermind group, and it put me into a group of a lot of people. What's up, Matthew? A lot of people that they're all paying to get there. And because of that, the level of all the people in that room was really, really high. And that's great, because now I get to be around other people that are, you know, at a high level in their business, and I can learn from them. In fact, one of the guys we sat next to, this French Canadian marketing guy, what's up, Andy? He basically told us about this software that we're using right now to do this Facebook Live, and he gave us some great insight on some of the things that are working for him. And it was an awesome conversation, and we just, you know, luckily sat down next to him and started chatting him up. So I think that that's one of the best parts of these conferences, in particular, the mastermind groups, is where you get into areas where other people that are high achievers are also, you know, trying to improve and grow, because it's kind of weeds people out in many ways, self-selects who's going to actually do that. So that was fun.
Yeah, no, a big piece of it too, think about it, is like the people that you surround yourself with, they're like, your environment is kind of going to be like what facilitates you, right? Yeah. So if I'm around people who maybe aren't that successful, or around people who I'm maybe a little bit elevated with them, I don't mean to sound like I'm this amazing person, but like surrounding yourself with people that are positive and that are really trying to get hungry, PT entrepreneurs like ourselves, right? Surrounding yourself with those people is only going to elevate your game more. And if you keep searching out people who are better than you, like if I work out with somebody who's better than me, I'm going to be chasing them the whole time.
True.
Probably the same way in business, right? Like I want to be around somebody who's way better at this I am, so I can learn from them, as well as just going to push me, because, you know, I'm not going to be happy with that. I'm going to want to go a little bit harder. So
yeah, no, it's there's some competitiveness associated with that, which is not a bad thing. Not necessarily like competition in a bad way, but competition as in, yeah, you're training with people that are better than you, or you try to improve, and it's no different in sport than it is in business. And that's what's really cool. So I would say the biggest chunk of the day was Tony Robbins. It was actually 4 straight hours of super loud music, people hugging random strangers, and a bunch of dancing.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of dancing and clapping with Mr. Robbins. And, you know, aside from all that, I get what he's doing. Like, I totally understand, you know, why he does that. And you know, obviously he's been doing this for 40 years and people love the stuff that he does. But he said a few things today that I thought were really impactful. One being that, you know, mindset is 80% of success and skills are the other 20%. And in many cases, we focus so much on skills, acquiring new skills, acquiring the latest manual therapy technique. I don't know, any of that stuff. And what we neglect is the fact that our confidence level, our mindset, the state that we're in actually has much more to do with how successful we are in many cases, how likely it is that somebody's going to buy into what we want them to do, that they're going to buy a package with us, that they're going to want to work with us and not use their insurance. I mean, a lot of that comes down to confidence and mindset, and it's so dead on. And the state that you're in, especially if you think of like a sales conversation, right? I mean, you're super confident about why somebody should work with you and that they need to see you a certain amount of visits or whatever it is. That comes across very easily.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like most, I would say one of the biggest challenge for cash-based PTs, right, is changing that specific mindset. Like it's still a challenge for me, the mindset that I create enough value that people are going to pay me for this, right? Yeah. We understand that we have some value, but for some reason we don't think we have that much value, right? And so changing that mindset is key, and that takes time to be nurtured and takes time to be worked on. And like, just like you said, we're sometimes working on all the skills, even business strategies or stuff like that, or learning new tools may not be as effective. We don't focus on like changing that specific mindset. And again, I like that's what we're doing with the Facebook group, is we're focusing a lot on empowering and changing the mindset, not just learning new stuff. I mean, that's really important, but like, I agree with the 80-20 rule. You know what I mean? Like you can have all the skills in the world. If you don't have the right mindset to implement it, then it's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah, and I mean, you can see it in a number of different things. Like, you know, have you ever had a friend that was maybe not like the most attractive man in the world, but they always just like had the confidence to go up to, you know, women in college that were like way too hot for them. And sometimes it actually worked out.
Yeah.
You know, because
he was like a 2 and he was just pulling tens all day.
Yeah, just right? Because he was just like confident and not afraid to get turned down. And that's mindset, right? So some that guy's parents probably just told him every night, like, you're the best looking man in the world. And in his mind, he is, right? You know, so that's mindset. And for him, you know, maybe you can be successful like that. But the mindset's a big part of your ability to be successful in business in particular. And I think that is like grossly under underutilized in terms of your time span trying to improve that, because it affects everything. It affects relationship development, it affects sales, it affects your ability to market to other people, it affects your ability to train other people, it affects your ability to persuade other people in a good way to follow you, you know, to actually, for you to be able to lead people. It's very helpful. And a lot of it comes down to your mindset. And if very few people will have a definitive vision in their mind of what's going to happen. This is why it's like so rare to see somebody like a Steve Jobs or something like that, where he, you know, he's able to like visualize these products and the way it's going to change the world before they even came out, before they were even able to make those. And that's a mindset, shift that he had, and very few people do. And, you know, I thought that was probably the most impactful thing that he said today. That the second most important thing I would say was, you know, success without fulfillment is failure. All right. I'll say that again, because I wrote this down and I started it and I like circled it and everything. Success without fulfillment is failure. It's that simple. And I can tell you from, I've set like financial goals for myself for our business. And when we hit those, I get very little fulfillment out of that. None in many cases. It's sort of like, oh, I feel the same. You know, we've got a lot more money in the bank and I feel the same. Like that sucks. Versus, you know, when we started looking at, you know, how can we generate as much revenue as possible to help fund some of these nonprofits that we're associated with, that changed it completely. The most fulfillment I've ever had in our business was when we donated a bunch of money to a school in Savannah to get stand-up desks into schools. That was through standupkids.org, and every little kid in that classroom wrote us a handwritten letter and drawing of them at these desks saying thank you. And that's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in business. And it was, I didn't make no money whatsoever off of it. It was a completely, it was something that we gave away. It was something we were able to help other people with because of how well our business had done. And that's, I think, really, really important.
That was like the fulfilling piece, right?
It's hugely fulfilling.
Yeah. Like he talked a lot about people who are millionaires, billionaires, and they weren't getting that fulfillment. You can be super successful without being fulfilled. I just kind of had a weird thought. You tell me what you think about this.
Yeah.
What about if you kind of flip that the other way for PTs? Like a lot of PTs probably feel super fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right? But will they allow themselves to have the success? Because sometimes it's, again, it's going back to mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I deserve to be like making a lot of money. Maybe I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be this money hungry corporate person.
Sure.
Like the mindset of like, I can be successful and that gives me the opportunity to give back more.
Yep.
Gives me opportunity to help more people. Just because you're successful doesn't mean like you're this, you know, greedy, money hungry person. There are people, and there's lots of them, who are super successful, right? And give more than they take, right? And I think PTs already have that mindset. There's a super advantage to that. And then if they can kind of get out of their own heads and say, man, allow myself to be successful, allow myself to actually grow my business and go forward, like, that could be huge. That might be the mind shift for some of them that needs to happen.
Man, that's a great point, you know, because I've had students ask me, you know, isn't cash physical therapy greedy? Like literally, you know, don't you feel cash physical therapy is greedy because you're only working with people who are affluent? Well, no, I don't think it's greedy. And that person obviously has some hangups with money because, you know, it's a service that, if people value it, and trust me, most of the people I work with are not super wealthy. You know, they're, you know, middle income, sometimes lower. I work with a ton of firefighters and police officers. I've worked with people that value their time. I work with a lot of teachers.
They value their health more than their money. Like, that's just
absolutely
the bottom line. Of course, there's people that financially struggle, but it's not necessarily just affluent people, right? It's people who just value, like, I want to feel really good right now, right? And if PTs really think about that, they realize they provide that service.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, who are you to say what that person should spend their money on? There's way less valuable things out there that people are going to get much, much less out of.
A second TV, a nicer car, a new Apple laptop, a new iPhone X. You know, I'm guilty of it. I bought an iPhone X.
Yeah, you do. You have that. That's true. No, but I mean, think about that. Like, who, that is a personal money mindset hangup that somebody has with that. And I think it's very common, in particular, because for most of us, we would do our job. We would do this career for free if we could, because we get so much personal satisfaction out of helping other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's great. That's good. We get a lot out of helping other people, and we have a lot of personal satisfaction with our job. And that's amazing, because a lot of people do not. But it doesn't mean that you should do it for free. And it doesn't mean that you have to be broke to help people, or that you have to work your ass off and see 30 patients a day so that somebody else can make a bunch of money off of you. Look, people are making money. Okay. If you look at in-network practices that are high volume, somebody's making money and it's fucking not you. Okay. And somebody's still paying money.
It's probably not the practice either. Let's be honest.
Yeah. You know, and it's not you, right? I mean, even like, you know, if you look at the money is there. The big problem is insurance companies. That's a huge problem. But, you know, the only way around it is these mill-based practices, if they want to be really profitable, or they're owned by private equity and now they have shareholders to account for. Mm-hmm. And so what do? Well, they try to get their revenue up as high as they can, keep their overhead down as low as they can, have the highest profitability as possible. And that means that you're just a little cog in the wheel of this machine, and they're making a good bit of money, and you're just getting used. Frankly, you're getting used by a PT mill when there's other options out there. And if you're starting to resent your career that you went to school for so long for, like this is what scares me the most about people that I get reached out to about our field. Danny, I've gone to school for 7 years. I hate what I do. I literally do not look forward to going to work every single day. I have to see 30 people a day. I have to write an absolute ton of notes, and I don't get paid very much, and I'm swimming in student debt. I wish I hadn't gone to physical therapy school. What do you think I should do? That sucks.
That should not even be an email that had to be written in the first place.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're giving them other options finally now, right?
Yeah.
Our goal is to just say that there is another option out there, and that we want to provide a window or a light or whatever to that option.
So I guess a good question. So Gaines Therapy asks, you know, how do you build a mindset so you can charge what you're actually worth? Well, I think you have to put yourself in a position to have real conversations with real people about money. And that is challenging because, in my opinion, the only way to sharpen that skill, the only way to improve that skill, is to put yourself in positions where you have to work on engaging with somebody face to face. And this is very rare. This is harder, in my opinion, for younger PTs as well, because there's been so much digital technology that they've grown up with, where, you know, hey, if you want to yell at somebody on Twitter about being a douchebag, you can do that. Back in the day, I'm going to sound like an old man right now. Like, if I want to call somebody a douchebag, I had to do it to their face, or I had to physically call them and hope they were home and say, hey, you're a douchebag.
Well, right? I might be busy, though. You couldn't. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
They might be busy. Their mom might answer, and then I'm like, lose my nerve. And you know, now it's very easy to do that. So like this human face-to-face connection, I think it scares people off a lot. But the only way to get better at that is to desensitize yourself to that and realize that, you know, what you do is valuable, and it's much more valuable than what many other people charge a lot of money for. How much do you say that lawyer that you were looking at using for the startup cost per hour?
$900 an hour.
$900 per hour. And that wouldn't make your back feel any better.
Sign a couple contracts.
That wouldn't get your headaches to go away, right?
Right.
That wouldn't restore range of motion in your knee so you could walk around with your grandkids.
Yeah. I think a big,
none of that.
Big piece of that, of facilitating that mindset too, is seeking some of that information out. Like there's a bunch of books, let's call them coaches or anything, right? And just to like find people who have the mindset that you want and go hang out with those people, email those people, talk to those people, whatever. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be in the PT profession either. It can be anything, right? Obviously that's ideal, but you know, find those people who have that mindset and then learn from them, right? Because it's just a learning process. That's what we're all here for. We're all here to like learn and continue to improve and progress, and hopefully together in the right direction. And I think that's what you can do. You need to seek that stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's definitely a hard skill. It's something that you're not necessarily going to learn in PT school.
You almost unlearn it from PT school. You know, yeah. I had to almost unlearn it. You know, yeah. that's nasty.
And you know, I would say if you're a young PT and you are interested in going this route, let's say you're in school, I always recommend that they you start working as a personal trainer, because I had to do this as a personal trainer. I had to sell packages. I had to talk to people about like how often I need to see them. These are sales conversations. Sales conversations. And I remember being a shithead little 21-year-old, junior in college. I got a job as a personal trainer. It was at a golf retirement community, which was like fairly affluent. And these are all like ex-CEOs and stuff. And here I am trying to get them to come and see me for $100 a pop, because that's what the retirement community said that that's what I had to charge. I didn't know any different. This is what's the rate, right? And you just learn how to sell yourself. You learn how to be comfortable in those situations. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you're a student and you're thinking about doing something in particular and more of like the hybrid health and wellness niche, then man, I would start being a personal trainer and start honing that skill as much as you can.
Coaching people. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. This is great advice. What are some books that you could recommend? I think you can recommend a lot of books, but I think that's not going to change the fact that you need to get in front of people, because you're still reading a book, which is paper. It's not another human being who could say no to you. And that's the scary part, right? I mean, let's be honest. Let's go back to the whole example of college, right? College is just a big, you're just trying to meet people, whatever you're into. And, you know, the scary part is being turned down. And rejection, and someone saying no, and that feels bad. That doesn't feel good at all. But the more that happens, the more you learn how to frame things in a way that people say yes. So you can read books, you know, like Dan Pink has some great books. To Sell as Human is one of my favorite
ones.
That's
what I was going to say.
I think that's a no-brainer for the health community. But after you read that book, you then need to go implement and apply things, because you can read as many books as you want, but man, if you don't ever test the theory. How do you know if it's working? How do you know if that's the right tool for you? You don't. So you can't substitute real life experience, with a book long term.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, good advice. Well, good there.
All right. So the other thing, Tony talked a lot about state. All right. So the idea of state, which your state is just your emotional, the way you are in an emotional state at the time, which is kind of redundant, but basically I'm sure some of you have had, you've had times where something bad has happened and it bums you out. You know, this happens to me sometimes when we have like a bad day or like something really frustrated me at the office and maybe a project that we're working on is just not going well, or something negative happened in the business, and that's just the way it is, man. It's not a linear progression. Positives and negatives happen just like in regular life. And, I come home and I mean, my kids can tell, my wife can tell, my posture's different. It's almost like you have this fog over you, and you can't see as clearly. And for me, if that ever happens, you know, the thing that I always try to do is go get on the trampoline with my kids. So I'll take them out to the backyard. We'll go jump on the trampoline.
Put a smile on my face just thinking about you jumping on trampoline.
I love it, man.
Just shooting little Jack in the air.
Yeah, just double bounce, just double bouncing the shit out of those little kids.
Popcorn. That's one of my favorite.
That's
games.
It. Yeah. And you know what's funny? Tony Robbins makes everybody jump up and down with their hands in the air, and.
And it was like a physiological response where he said, literally, they do studies. I didn't read them or anything, but that physiologically, you'll be more excited, right? And just by literally jumping up and down and putting your hands in the air.
Yeah.
And you kind of do feel that, right? Like, we were pretty worn out after jumping literally for 4 hours, but you could feel, I mean, you definitely get more excited. You're in a more heightened state. It definitely works.
It's management of energy is what he talks about a lot. Okay. And I would say that that's a very valid concept. It's management of energy. It's doing things that give you more energy versus drain you.
That's a freaking huge one. I talk about that with my employees every day. We talk about all the skills, all the jobs you need to do in a business, right? Social media, documentation, seeing patients, answering the phone, whatever. And we try really hard. This is kind of a business systems thing.
Yeah.
Really hard to put people at all the tasks that give them energy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I always ask, like, oh man, I really got to be doing this. Like, is this task giving you energy or is it not? It's not giving me energy. Stop doing it. Let's find somebody who can do that task, right? Who's going to be super excited about posting on something on social media.
Yeah.
Give me the person that's going to love to talk on that phone and convert that patient and get them in the door. Show me the person that's going to love to, you know, do the strength conditioning piece. Like, put you, like, that was the biggest transition I had from insurance-based to cash-based. Again, I always say, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, how much fun I'm having right now. It was like I had all these things that were just sucking energy out of me, and then I got to a place where everything gave me energy, and all of a sudden, I started scaling cash-based practice. I started a startup. You know what I mean? Who starts a startup in their first year of a cash-based practice? Just sounds dumb to me, right? And like, just started pitching and doing development. It doesn't even make any sense, but like, it's just because I had so much energy, right? I'm just like, why else would we make 450 YouTube videos? Because we just have a ton of energy. I just love to put as many videos as I can.
Really make that many videos?
Yeah, we're 450 right now. Jeez, something ridiculous.
That's a lot of YouTube videos.
Oh God, all day.
That's awesome. No, it's true though. I mean, like a good example of this is people, when they first start their business, one of the easiest things to hand off, I highly recommend, if you have a practice and you're listening to this and you haven't done this yet, you need to hire somebody to do your bookkeeping and accounting, because you probably don't like it. And if you do like it, then keep doing it. I mean, if that's something that you get, you get positive energy.
Excel spreadsheet drives me crazy.
Yeah, but you know, when I sit down with our CPA, that fucker loves numbers. Like, he absolutely loves it. And he's just like, Danny, look at this Excel sheet. Look how organized it is. And oh, I have this, and it self-populates. And I'm like, Tommy, that's great, man.
Just tell me the P&L, buddy.
Yeah, just like tell me, okay, cool, this is where we're at. This is where we're projecting. Yeah, like how much taxes do I owe? And that's it. But he like loves it. He looks forward to going to the office and organizing numbers. So that's an example of a task that most people dread. But there's certain people in this world that love doing that. Here's a good example for us, Cash PT. My brother, if he had to sit in a room with somebody for an hour and work with them one-on-one, he would lose his mind.
I get excited about that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Some people hate it and it gives them anxiety. It stresses them out. And if that's that kind, if that's you, you don't need to open a cash practice and do one-on-one work with people. That's a terrible fit. You should go do research somewhere in a university and not necessarily talk to somebody. We need people like that too, you know, because that's maybe something that gives you more energy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't really like people, don't start a cash practice. It's a terrible idea. Right. Don't do it. Yeah. Plenty of other things you could do. So there's a couple things like to wrap up that I would say in terms of the day. Number one, we jumped up and down a whole lot. My calves are a little bit sore. Surprisingly,
yep, a little knee pain.
Tony Robbins, man, I don't know how he does it.
He's a giant man too.
He is. Yep. You know, and he did ask one question that I thought was really interesting, and it was, why should I do business with you instead of anyone else? And I was like, man, that was a great question. The guy you put on the spot, I'm glad he didn't put me on the spot with that, because I probably would have done the same thing. This guy just like clammed up and didn't say anything, because there's 3,000 people, you know, around, and he's basically just put him on the spot with a microphone and gave it to him.
Repeat that question, because that question, if you can't answer that question, like, you need to answer it. If you have a business or you're about to start a business, answer that question right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we call it elevator pitch in startups. You need to know your elevator pitch like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what's your elevator pitch for Made to Move? What's your elevator pitch for Athletes Potential? What's your elevator pitch for blank physical therapy? You know exactly what it is. I know you're going to dig into it more.
Yeah. Well, so it's, why should I do business with you instead of anyone else? And I think that's really an important question to be able to answer, you know. And it's not, oh, we do dry needling, and oh, we do, you know, whatever, active release, and oh, we've got OCSs, and nobody knows what that is, right? So like, I think you have to look at this as, you know, what is it about what you do that makes your business unique? And why that person is a good fit for it, you know. And you know, we both wrote answers for our practice for this. What read the one you have for Made to Move. So this is your local business.
Yeah. So this is our brick and mortar PT business. And just before I do this, well, I'll go after this. So here's the shtick. All right. So we empower our patients more than anyone else with long term solutions, not short term band-aids. We spend 1 hour with you, give 24 access to our PTs, personalized programs to not only rehab your issue, but improve overall health and fitness. We listen to your whole story. You're not just a number or a diagnosis. You have so much potential. We will show you the way. And a big piece of that, just like you said, it's not just about the stuff that you can do. It's in there too, right? But like, it's creating an emotional connection, and that's hard. That's a skill I'm learning. I got to create emotional connection with me and that person through words. I can do it one-on-one. Yeah. I got somebody in my room for an hour. Like, I love going from, we talked about the state where they're like feel depressed and painful to the state where like they're super excited to leave and they can't wait to start their home exercise. I can do that in an hour. But making that happen in a paragraph is hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to say, yeah, I have, I am a certified Mulligan practitioner and I can do this, this, this. It's tough to go and make that emotional connection for sure.
Oh, we got, look at this. Jamie Yoder's on Instagram right here. He asks us if we have a video of us dancing at Tony Robbins. And the answer is no, because they don't allow video at Tony
Robbins.
I warned
you, James. I warned you.
Yeah, but they would have had one. Marcy, how do you know when or at what point in a startup should you hire a bookkeeper or... if you're a one-man band, good question, because you do have to do some things yourself, many things yourself early on. We hired somebody on about 6 months in. When I started making, a decent amount of money, I started doing it. I frankly kind of wish I would have done it earlier because it's not that expensive, right? And I think you got to think like a bookkeeper, it may run you for something simple like that, $100, maybe $200 a month, but it's going to save you a few hours in that week. So you're paying somebody maybe, I don't know, $40 an hour or something like that. I'm not sure what a bookkeeper is now because ours is all rolled in with our CPA. When we first had our bookkeeper, she was under $200 a month for sure. But she was saving us hours in the month. So what is that? That's one patient visit with me.
Yeah,
it's one. So if I have 5 hours, 6 hours of my month back, and I can generate one more patient visit out of that, then it's a wash. I generate two, then I win. I'm gaining time back and I'm making more money.
And it's not just the hour that goes back to what we talked about. It's not just the hour of time that would take you to put that stuff back in there. It's the life that may suck out of you. So like if that's a life sucking thing you have to do, it freaking triple it, right? So 3 hours of time. So now you've got to make up 3 hours of time for that. So, there's some really good technology out there that can help you with that and make it easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I personally, I did it right away. Instantly got a bookkeeper. I don't want to deal with this. It's going to be worth it. Went all in with it. And so, you know, piece of that's like what you're comfortable with. And you know what I mean? There's never a one size fits answer as much as we want to have that one.
Yeah.
You know?
So, that's the end. That's the end of the, conference is the last day. Four days, a lot of days, man. That's a long conference.
It's a lot of time to spend with Danny. You know what I mean?
It's a long time to have to listen to me go on and on about the same shit.
The bromance is over.
We're breaking up. It's long distance. We're never going to see each other. This is going to be bad.
Things got weird.
But you know, the thing is, like, very glad that I came to this conference. I would highly recommend that if you're in business, that you look for some things. It doesn't have to be something big like this. You have to travel for it. It's really expensive. It could be something local that's, maybe it's some sort of networking and, some sort of event for tech companies, to learn about what they do and different kinds of businesses. Maybe it's you get involved with some sort of local business group that's not another physical therapist. I think it's very important for us to spend time.
BNIs are a good way to start. A lot of people do that. You know what I mean? It's good. Like there's, I do referrals and stuff, but it's a good way just to, again, get out of your comfort zone. It's not the most comfortable thing. You have to get up in front of the group, like start crushing through those barriers. Like start now. There's no reason not to start now.
I would say probably the biggest takeaway that you could take from this conference that we were at is, three quarters of what's going to get you to a successful business is, can you market the thing that you're trying to sell, the product or service? In our case, it's a service. Can you sell that whenever they talk to you? Can you sell it when they talk to you, when they call you, when they're in your office? And if you can market it and you can sell it, you're going to have a successful practice. You can figure out the other things that really make it run smoothly, the systems and hiring. And I mean, that stuff takes some time anyway. But for you to get to over $100,000 a year in a cash practice, all you have to do is be able to market something and sell something. And deliver that product. Like as long as you do that, you're good to go.
Yeah. And I would say my takeaway, which kind of complements what you said, you know what you need to do. And guess what? Anybody who's a PT is already doing this. You create more value than anybody else around you. And we got that shit covered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like we already got that piece. Now just figure out how to market and sell it. And then you're done.
That's it. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. on the marketing wrap-up. These will be coming out in the next few weeks. So if you want to listen to them again, you can do that at the PT Entrepreneur. You can look at them on iTunes. As always, man, if you listen to the podcast, you're an active listener, do me a favor, go to iTunes, leave me a 5-star review. Man, if you like it, let us know about it. It helps us get this in front of more people. And let us know if you have anything that you'd love to hear us talk about in the future. Thanks, guys.
Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thanks so much for listening to this podcast. If you're one of the people that's already headed over to iTunes and left me a review, I really appreciate it. There's been over 50 iTunes reviews and all of them being 5 stars that have been left on this podcast since we started in August. That's awesome. And I read every single review. I take every little piece of advice that you give me in there, any criticism, any positive feedback that you have, I read all of it. And it's amazing to see that we're even getting reviews internationally at this point. So if you're one of the people that's reviewed the podcast, thanks so much. If you're an active listener of this podcast, I highly, highly encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and go to iTunes and leave me a short review. I'd love to hear what you have to say, and it really does help me get this information in front of more people. So guys, thanks again for your time, and keep listening.